Most of the stories you hear begin, "Once upon a time, there was a princess, or a dragon, or a wicked witch." But my story begins, "Once upon a time, there was a plain piece of wood." An old man named Geppetto brought this piece of wood home to make a little marionette to keep him company in his lonely room. Geppetto began to carve the wood, and as he carved, he thought to himself,
"What will I call this marionette? Maybe Pinocchio. Pinocchio! Yes, that has just the right sound for a marionette."
Geppetto carved Pinocchio's legs and feet, then the top of his head, then his eyes. Next, he made the nose, a pleasant, proper sort of a nose for a boy. But Pinocchio's nose didn't want to be an ordinary nose, and it started growing right under Geppetto's eyes. Geppetto sawed off the end, but it grew right out again. Then Geppetto chiseled it off, but back it grew longer and longer. And as it grew, the nose sang a song.
"I am Pinocchio's nose, an elegant nose am I. Of all the noses that ever went nosing, Pinocchio's is the most imposing. Carved from the finest of hardwood trees, home of the sniffle and the sneeze. A noble nose, a fearful nose, a very eager major leaguer, sniffy, sniffy nose am I."
When Geppetto finished carving Pinocchio, he put the wooden boy on the floor and led him around to teach him to walk, talking to him all the time.
"Yes, my boy. Soon I'll send you to school where you'll learn to read and write and do arithmetic."
Now, Pinocchio didn't like this idea at all. And the moment he learned to use his legs, he ran straight through the open doorway into the streets, leaping and bounding like a happy rabbit. And poor Geppetto ran after him, shouting,
"Stop him! Stop him! Don't let my boy run away."
The people of the town of Collodi, where Geppetto lived, were so astounded to see a marionette running that they simply stared. Finally, a brave policeman managed to hold Pinocchio until Geppetto reached him.
"You little rascal. I think I'll box your ears for you."
Pinocchio laughed right in his father's face, and he said,
"Hey, look, Pop. You forgot to carve me any ears, so how can you box them?"
"I take you home, carve you a pair of ears, and then I'll box them."
Now, when the townspeople heard Geppetto threaten Pinocchio like this, they began to spread rumors. One said Geppetto was cruel. Another said he was unfair to marionettes. Now, none of this was true, but the policeman didn't know it, so he took Geppetto off to jail. This didn't bother Pinocchio at all. He returned home all alone and sat down contentedly when he heard little sounds.
"Excuse me. I say hey there.
Who's there?"
"'Tis I, Irving, the world's most intelligent mouse. I've been living here ever since I left my home in the woodwork at the University of Rome."
"Oh, well, look, Irving, if you're really a smart mouse, you'll get out of my room."
"I'll go, my boy, but only after I've told you a great truth."
"Well, okay, but make it snappy, Irving."
"Well, some truths are fast, and some are slow, and some are medium. This one is medium slow."
"Well, let's speed it up. Make it move, kid. Make it move."
"Well, I just want to tell you that life will be difficult for a boy who never listens to anybody else."
"Yeah, but listen, Irving. If I hang around here with my father, he'll make me go to school. And school is work. And I don't like to work. Do you know what I really like?"
"Inform me, marionette."
"Well, then lend an ear, Irving."
"All righty."
"I like to work at being lazy. I'm fond of working hard at play. I think that anyone is crazy to live in any other way. I'd sooner sit and blow a bubble. I just don't like to get things done. A hard work can be a lot of trouble unless you work at having fun."
Hey there, Pinocchio.
Yeah, what is it, Irving?
It occurs to me that when Geppetto carved you out of that block of wood, I think he forgot to remove the sap.
Kids, get out of here. I know what I want to do. I'd sooner sit and blow a bubble and watch my pop clean up the house. A hard work's an awful lot of trouble, and so were you, my little mouse.
So that's it. Listen, Pinocchio, it's bad enough to be a marionette, but it's worse to be a blockhead.
When he heard this, Pinocchio picked up one of Geppetto's old shoes and threw it at Irving. It hit Irving rather hard, and the poor wounded mouse dragged himself into the woodwork to recuperate. Soon, night came on, and Pinocchio grew hungry. He had an appetite that was every bit as large as his nose, but he couldn't find a scrap of food in the house. Tired and hungry, he threw himself in a chair, rested his feet on the glowing coals in the fireplace, and soon fell sound asleep. In a few minutes, his wooden feet began to smoke. Now, boys shouldn't smoke, and neither should their feet, especially if they're made of wood. Soon, those wooden feet burned clear off, but Pinocchio slept through it all. He slept until morning, when a knock awakened him.
Who is it?
Geppetto, your father.
Pinocchio jumped up to open the door, but he had no feet. He tottered two or three steps and then fell flat.
Let me in, Pinocchio.
I can't, Pop. The cat ate my feet.
The cat does not eat wood. Let me in, I tell you, or you'll be a sorry marionette.
But Pinocchio simply couldn't reach the door. Geppetto finally climbed through the window, and when he saw Pinocchio lying footless on the floor, he felt sorry for the poor marionette. He held him gently while Pinocchio told him all that had happened. Then Geppetto took three pears from his pocket.
Eat these pears, Pinocchio. They're my breakfast, but I'm glad to give them to you.
Pears? Gee, that's great, Pop. But how about peeling them for me?
Patient Geppetto peeled the three pears and laid the peelings on a corner of the table. Pinocchio ate all three pears, and now that his stomach was full, he begged for a new pair of feet.
New feet? Why should I make you new feet? So you can run away again?
Oh, no. No, Pop, honestly. I'll be good. I really will. And, well, I'll even go to school and I'll study hard.
Yes, that's what all boys say when they want something.
Oh, but gee, I always tell the truth, Pop. You know me.
Geppetto finally relented. He made Pinocchio a fine pair of new feet and carved ears on his head. Pinocchio was so happy he jumped up and down in delight.
Yahoo! Oh, boy! And now I'll keep my part of the deal. I'll start school right away.
Good boy.
But I haven't any clothes, Pop.
And so Geppetto, being very poor, made Pinocchio a suit of cardboard, shoes from some bark, and a cap of bread paste.
And now, how about a notebook, Pop? I can't go to school without a notebook.
I don't know what to do about it, Pinocchio. I have no money.
Pinocchio and Geppetto were rather unhappy about this. Then Geppetto silently took off his patched coat and left the house. Soon he returned with the notebook and without his coat. The poor man was in his shirt sleeves, although it was cold outside. Geppetto had sold the coat to buy a notebook for Pinocchio. The next day, Pinocchio started for school, his notebook under his arm, and as he walked, he talked to himself.
I'll go to school and I'll get real smart and I'll earn a lot of money and I'll buy a new coat for Pop. A coat with gold sleeves and with silver lapels and diamond buttons. And every pocket will be filled with chocolate or maybe gumdrop. Say, oh boy, listen to that. Wow, that's great music. I guess I'll follow the music. Tomorrow is time enough to start school.
And so Pinocchio followed the music. It led him to the Grand Theater of the Marionettes, where the play was about to begin. Oh, how badly Pinocchio wanted to see that play, but it cost 5 cents, and he had no money. He looked around desperately until he found a man who was willing to give him 5 pennies for his new notebook. Yes, the notebook for which Geppetto had sacrificed his only warm coat. Quickly he bought the ticket, and when he found his seat, the curtain was up, and the marionettes were already well into their performance of Romeo and Juliet.
Wilt thou be gone? It is not yet near day. It was the nightingale, and not the lark, that pierced the fearful hollow of thine ear. Nightly she sings on yon pomegranate tree. Believe me, love, it was the nightingale.
It was the lark, the herald of the morn. No nightingale. Look, love, it's not the lark at all. It's Pinocchio in the audience.
Pinocchio, our long-lost brother.
It's Pinocchio! Pinocchio!
All hail Pinocchio! Let's give a friend a cheer. From Rome to distant Tokyo, there's no one like Pinocchio. Now things are okey-dokey. Oh, Pinocchio is here. Long live Pinocchio. His praises, that's enough. His nose is simply scrumptious. He's always full of bounce.
And is every bit as bumptious as a marionette should be.
Long live Pinocchio. Let's have him stay for tea.
We sing this happy number to praise this piece of lumber. Let's have him stay for tea.
Long live Pinocchio, let's give our friend a cheer. Now things are okey-dokey, let's not be so scum-pokey, and let's all hail Pinocchio.
Pinocchio is here.
All hail Pinocchio, Pinocchio is here.
Well, when the manager of the theater saw how Pinocchio's presence stopped the entire performance, he was so angry that he seized Pinocchio and hung him on a nail like an old coat. Pinocchio was made of good dry wood, and the manager needed good dry wood for his fire because he was going to cook mutton for dinner. After the performance, he took Pinocchio down from the nail and prepared to use him for the fire. Now, the manager, who had long, scraggly teeth, shaggy whiskers that drooped all the way to the floor, one green eye and one blue one, wasn't quite as mean as he looked. But he hated to be kind, even when he felt like it. Whenever he wanted to be kind, he tried sneezing instead. And when Pinocchio shouted,
"Help! Help! Save me, Pop! Save me!"
the manager said,
"Gesundheit.
Pop, help, save me."
Pinocchio cried so bitterly that the manager decided to let him go and use the Romeo marionette to feed the fire. As he prepared to use this poor marionette for firewood, Pinocchio threw himself at the manager's feet and wept so hard that his tears soaked the ends of the manager's whiskers. And if there was anything that manager couldn't stand, it was wet whiskers. Pinocchio clutched the manager's ankles and pleaded,
"Please, boss, save Romeo. Please, Mr. Mayor. Don't throw Romeo on the fire. Please, Mr. Governor. Don't do it. Please, Mr. President. Throw me on the fire instead. I don't want Romeo to suffer in my place."
When they heard this, all the marionettes began to weep. And the manager, flattered at being called Mr. President, said, And he finally agreed to let Romeo go, even if it meant eating half-cooked mutton. The next morning, the manager gave Pinocchio 5 gold pieces and set him free. Pinocchio walked happily off toward home, and soon he met a lame fox and a blind cat. The cat winked, which is a funny thing for a blind cat to do. The fox patted Pinocchio's shoulder.
"Good morning, Pinocchio. I know your father well."
"Oh, do you? And how is dear old Pops?"
"In his shirt sleeves, shivering from the cold."
"Oh, well, he won't have to shiver anymore. Look."
"Gold pieces. What are you going to do with all that money?"
"Well, I'm going to buy my pop a coat with gold sleeves and silver lapels, diamond buttons and gumdrops in all the pockets, or chocolate."
"My boy, you should come with us to the Wonderfield. And when you get there, you must dig a little hole, bury your gold pieces, fill up the hole, sprinkle a few drops of water on it, then add salt, lemon juice, and a bit of Tabasco. Then go to bed and wait. And soon the gold pieces will sprout, and in the morning you'll find a tree that grows money the way apple trees grow apples.
Oh, my goodness. How many gold pieces do you think the tree will grow?
Roughly 2,500.
Say, how about taking me to the Wonder Field right now?
And off went Pinocchio, the fox, and the cat.
It's off we go, off we go. Pinocchio, it's not too hot, it's not too cold, exactly right for growing gold, right for growing gold. It's off we go, off we go.
Cat a fox.
Pinocchio, the weather's right as it can be for growing money on a tree, money on a tree.
On the way, they stopped at the Red Lobster Inn to pass the night. When Pinocchio awoke in the morning, he discovered that the fox and the cat had already left without paying for their dinner or lodging. The innkeeper told him that they would be waiting for him at the Wonder Field. Pinocchio paid the bill with one gold piece and set off for the Wonder Field. On the way, he heard tiny footsteps, the kind of little sound you have to pick up with a tweezer. Looking down, he saw Irving, the intelligent mouse.
Oh, so it's you again. Well, what's on your mind now?
I just want to suggest that you go home and give your father the four gold pieces you have left.
More advice, more advice. Listen, aren't you tired of giving advice? Now look, Irving, I'm going to the Wonder Field and nothing's going to stop me.
Well, have it your own way.
The mouse lifted one eyebrow, shrugged his shoulders, and went off at a mouse trot. The moment Irving left, Pinocchio heard a faint rustle. He turned sharply. Behind him were two figures on tiptoe, hidden in black sacks. They were thieves, and Pinocchio just had time to hide the gold pieces in his mouth when the two strangers seized him. One shouted,
"Your money or your life?"
Now, Pinocchio's mouth was full of gold pieces, so all he could say was,
"I haven't got any money." "Hurry up, your money. We haven't got any time to waste."
"This must be some kind of joke, for can't you see that I am broke? When you see me, can you doubt that I'm a boy who does risk out? Hold me by the heels and shake me. You can't get money from a stone. I can't give and you can't make me. My pocket's bare as Fido's bone. This must be some kind of joke, for can't you see that I am broke? Absolutely, positively, positively, absolutely, definitely, desperately, incontrovertibly."
Say, that's a splendid word, Pinocchio.
Oh, thank you, Ivy. Incontrovertibly, broke. I broke. Oh, yes, indeed, you know that I'm broke.
So you got the money in your mouth, eh? I hear it. Come on, spit it out.
The two thieves tried to make him open his mouth. With a sudden twist, Pinocchio broke away and ran across the countryside. He could hear the thieves running after him, so he kept on without even catching his breath until he saw a little white cottage in the woods. He rushed to the door and knocked and banged and called, but no one answered. Then he kicked the door. A window above him opened, and a beautiful young fairy with blue hair, a pale face, and a voice like maple syrup looked down at him.
"No one lives here, little boy. We've all gone away."
Then she disappeared, and the window closed without a sound. At that moment, the two thieves caught up with Pinocchio and grabbed him by the collar.
"Now you won't get away. Come on, open your mouth. Let's have the gold."
Brave Pinocchio fought like a tiger. The thieves could not get him to open his mouth. Then the fox and the cat, for surely you know that they were the thieves, hanged Pinocchio by his heels from the branch of a tree and went off to eat lunch. While Pinocchio hung by his feet, the fairy with the blue hair looked out her window and saw him. The sight touched her heart. She clapped 3 times, and a great falcon flew to the window ledge.
Falcon, fly quickly to that marionette hanging from the tree. Cut the rope with your beak.
The falcon flew so fast that he returned 2 minutes before he started, carrying Pinocchio. He lay him on a bed in the fairy's cottage. She called 3 doctors to examine him. They conferred for an hour, and then the chief doctor gave the diagnosis.
This lad is suffering from acute rascalosis, complicated by escampitis, chronic disobediensis, and a severe head cold from hanging upside down.
The doctors left a white powder medicine for Pinocchio. The fairy put it into a glass of water.
Here, Pinocchio. Drink this and you'll soon be well.
Is it sweet or bitter?
It isn't sweet, but it will do you good.
Oh, well, if it's bitter, then I don't want it.
Drink it, and I'll give you a lump of sugar to take away the taste.
Well, give me the sugar first, and then I'll take the medicine.
Promise?
Promise.
Pinocchio ate the sugar and licked his lips.
Now keep your promise and drink the medicine.
Oh, I just can't drink the medicine. I just can't.
Why not?
Why not? Oh, that's a good question. I don't have an answer. Because the pillow is too close to my feet.
I'll move the pillow.
Oh.
There. Now drink it?
Well, I can't. The door is open.
I'll shut it.
Oh.
Now drink it.
Oh, honestly, I can't drink it. It's too bitter.
The fairy sighed and clapped 4 times. And 4 rabbits entered the room.
Rabbits, take this marionette back to the tree where you found him.
Oh, no, please. Please, fairy, don't. The thieves will get me again. I'll drink the medicine right now.
And he did.
Excuse me.
And soon he was well. Then he told the fairy how he had fallen into the hands of the thieves.
But what did you do with the 4 gold pieces?
I lost them.
Now, this was a lie, because he had them right in his pocket. And the moment that lie was out of Pinocchio's mouth, he heard a great creaking and groaning. It was the sound of his nose suddenly growing longer.
Where did you lose the gold pieces?
In the forest, near here.
Good. Then we can find them in the morning.
Oh, now I remember. I didn't lose them. I swallowed them when I took the medicine.
Well, his nose just couldn't stand that lie. It grew so long that every time Pinocchio tried to turn around, it hit the wall or a door.
Ow! Ooh!
You see, Pinocchio, some lies have short legs. Others have long noses. You tell the long-nosed kind.
Now, Pinocchio couldn't get his nose through the door, and he began to cry. The fairy let him cry for a long time. Then she clapped 5.5 times... A flock of woodpeckers flew in the window and pecked Pinocchio's nose down to its proper length.
Oh, fairy, you're so good to me. I really love you.
I love you, too. And if you wish, you can live here and be my brother.
Oh, I'd like that. But my poor pup...
Oh, that's taken care of. He'll join us before nightfall.
Oh, say, that's great. Let me go out and meet him.
Very well. Take the road to the forest,
mm-hmm.
And be careful not to lose your way.
Off ran Pinocchio, but as soon as he had reached the great oak tree, he saw the fox and the cat. The fox ran up to Pinocchio as though he were an old friend.
My dear fellow, how did you ever get here?
Oh, it's a long story. You see, after I left you at the inn... 2 thieves tried to rob me.
Oh, scandalous. Infamous.
Yeah, but now I'm on my way to meet my father.
But not before you bury your gold pieces in the wonder field.
Well, how far away is it?
Only 2 miles.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. All right, I'm with you.
It's off we go,